I'll be in Ephesians then, starting chapter 5, 1. And those of you who have been on my Tuesday nights, you can leave and we'll see you tonight because you heard it before. Hopefully you'll hear something maybe new from the Lord. Any time that we hear the word of, I mean, how many times have we read the book? We should be reading the book regularly. It should be new and fresh every time we hear it again. So my prayer will be that when we hear, maybe some of you heard me talk of this before, something new will click, especially in light of what was said. All right? We need to pray. Let's pray. So, Father, here I am standing before you, before this people, Lord, before those who watch on internet or TV or however it will be presented. And I stand, Lord, here as a representative of you and your authority and your throne. I don't take that lightly. I know all too well, at least as well as you've shown me, that I'm not worthy of this, nor is there anything worth coming out of my mouth that is of myself. So, Lord, we are wholly, completely dependent upon your Holy Spirit, upon your administration, upon your strength, Father, to do your will today. Again, we pray for our pastors that you would bless them and keep them and strengthen them, raise them up, bring them back to us safely soon. And bless Lloyd, Lord, as he will be preparing and speaking to us tonight. He will have his word in your word in his mouth. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and be in what is said, Lord. Be in everything said, everything perceived, everything heard and understood, that your will be done in life, Lord. We're after life. Give us life by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm in Ephesians chapter 5 because I wanted to pick up on what Ruth had to say. Ruth, let's start at the beginning. Twice, right? Okay, now I won't go there in the scripture, but in Genesis, we all know the story. In Genesis, and for you guys up there, hallelujah, remember me, I'm the walker. Okay. In Genesis, Pharaoh had a dream. You remember Pharaoh had a dream while Joseph was in jail? Anybody remember the story? Does anybody remember how many dreams he had? Two. Joseph gave the interpretation as to why Pharaoh had two dreams, the same dream. Remember? He translated it, but he said something significant. He said, the two are the same. They're one and the same dream, okay? And the Lord has established that it will be so. That's my interpretation of it. Okay, I don't memorize the words. I memorize what it means. Okay? In other words, when God says something twice, it's... Remember, let me give you another example. Nineveh said to Jonah said to Jonah, go tell Nineveh, in 40 days I'm going to destroy you. Now what did Jonah do? He went the other way. Why? That's what it sounds like. Because he knew that God was gracious and compassionate. And if he went over there and preached hellfire to them, they'd all repent and his enemies would be saved. And he didn't particularly want his enemies to be saved. He thought they had it coming. And God had to show him a few things about himself and other things. But the fact is, God said in 40 days it's going to be destroyed, and it didn't happen. God relented. But when he said the dream is twice, it means it's established, sister. He's not going to relent about this. He's going to do it. Period. Now, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. The flesh is going to screech and howl and fly about like a madman because it doesn't like being exposed. But that's all that's going to be exposed, saints. The old man and the flesh. Everything that's of Christ will be exposed also, but it's on the rock and it needs exposure. See the difference? Everything's going to be exposed. That which is of Christ and that which is not. Our part is to join with God in passing judgment on his enemies. Let's look at the scripture. Okay? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Now, this is where I'm going. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." All right, we'll stop right there. We've discussed this passage before on Tuesday nights, and it has different variations. If you could switch over to NAS. In the NAS, it says just a little differently. Okay? And especially verse 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And we pass by that little statement blithely. Moving along, la, 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 la. But I want us to look carefully at this statement here. Verse 13, second part of the verse, starting with the word for. For everything that becomes visible is light. Now, some things you might think when they become visible, they wouldn't be light. Like the darkness in us. We would think that wouldn't be light. But the truth is, the things that become visible are light. The thing that distinguishes light is you can see things. In the darkness, nothing. Remember when before the world, everything was darkness and everything was void and formless? That's how sin is. That's how things within us are. They're void and formless. Okay? There are a lot of things that are in our personalities that are void and formless. Now, you young people, you're so precious and so sincere and so... Yeah, I know. You know as well as I do. You got things inside of you that are formless and void of light. And we don't like that. And those of us who are older, we've learned longer to hide things, haven't we? What the world tells us is the way to deal with your problem is to hide it. Put another face on it. If you have an anger problem, get a hold of your anger. Right? Is that what they tell you? The problem with anger is that anger is rooted in something else. And if you get a hold of your anger, you haven't dealt with the something else. So what God wants to do is expose these things. And when he brings them up, you see, when God said, "Light be," then what was there was visible. You could see. Then it was no longer formless and void, because it was visible what was there. And what's in our hearts, what's in your heart and my heart, is darkness. How many of you know anything about mushrooms? Have I lost everybody already this morning? The mushroom is not the plant. The The plant is fungus, and where does it grow? In the darkness. Yeah, bro.
Uncommon odor.
Uncommon odor, yeah. Some of them do. Yeah. 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 It grows in dark areas. Okay? And every once in a while, the mushroom pops up here or there. And if you chop the mushroom off to get rid of it, what will happen? You'll get more mushrooms because you haven't dealt with the plant. The plant's under the ground. The plant's in the darkness. Okay, what God wants to do. See, what we do when we do anger control is we cut off the mushroom. You wait till it rains again, you're going to get another mushroom. Wait till a problem comes up, you're going to get another anger to have to control. And so you'll learn to keep your mouth shut, and you're thinking to yourself, but you're not saying anything, and you have control, right? No, that's not what God wants. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was not angry at those who turned him in. Jesus was not angry at Pontius Pilate. Jesus was not angry at his disciples when they ran off. He didn't have to control his anger. He wasn't angry. Because there was nothing growing inside. Pat, there was no darkness. There was none of these things that grow down in the fungus in his life. In Jesus. Okay? Because Jesus is light. Everything about Jesus is wissy-wig. You haven't heard that in a long time, have you, Mark? What you see is what you get. Wissy-wig. Okay? That's what God wants us to be. Wissy-wig. So that what you see is what you get. What you get. So let's look a little bit at this. All right? These are the things that God doesn't care for. Back in verse 3. Immorality, impurity, greed. These are improper. No filthiness, no silly talk, coarse gesturing, which is not fitting. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. It's not exactly what you may think it is. The Lord was speaking to me this morning as I read through that, what this silly talk and coarse jesting is. How many of you have ever said to a coworker, boy, I'd like to quit this job? Well, you won't say that to your boss, but you do say that to your coworker. How many of you, come on. How many have ever done something like that? Huh? Or said to your kids, boy, your mom, she really makes me angry. But you won't tell your wife she makes you angry. But you'll tell your kids, boy, she really makes me angry. Huh? Or your friend. You talk to our friend about the boss. Stupid, idiot thing they do. But you wouldn't go to your boss and say, stupid, idiot thing you do. You know what that is? A silly talk. That's silly talk, bro. Silly. Shouldn't be coming out of our mouths. Oh, so let's control ourselves and not talk like that, right? Huh? You've got to get to the thing that causes you to feel that way in the first place. You talk like that because something is not settled on Christ inside of your being. Something that can be shaken, has been shaken, and that's why you want to say something ugly or mean or nasty or spiteful. Because something inside your personality has been shaken. Because it can be shaken. And what God wants to do is he wants to get down. And how's he going to do this? Yeah, he's going to expose it. Okay. How? How's he going to do this? Circumstances. The boss is going to do something stupid. You can count on it. Every boss does. I'm one. I know. I've done a lot of stupid things. Okay? The boss is going to do something stupid. Stupid things are going to happen. Those kind of circumstances that will show us that we have a problem will arise. And the purpose that God allows that, he brings it into our life. He doesn't just allow it, saints. He brings it into our life. Because he wants us to know you have the problem. Now, he doesn't want us to know you have the problem so that we can go, like the lion, and he's going, oh, I got this problem and there's nothing I can do about it. something that can be done about it. What can be done about it? What can be done? It's in John, 1 John. Where is that? 1 John what? I ought to have it memorized. 1 John 1:7 or 1:9 or something like that. Because I believe in this. This is what we do. This is what to do when God points something out in your life. Now listen, here's the thing. When God points something out in your life, remember, most of the time, Tony, the problem that we face is the mushroom. Remember that. Okay? And I don't care what the issue is. It's a 99.9% chance it's the mushroom and not the plant. And what we've got to do is go back to God and say, okay, God, I see the mushroom. That lets me know there's this stuff going underground. What's underground? Okay? Because it's not the mushroom that needs to be exposed. It's already up there where you can see it. It's what's causing it to grow that needs to be exposed. Okay? And Ephesians says, we'll go back to Ephesians in a minute, okay? Well, let's stay here where we are. He stands ADD and he jumps around, so stay with him, okay? And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Are we talking about light? Now, God is light. Everything about God is hidden. Isn't that interesting? God hides himself because he is light, because he's a child, because God is good, because God is waiting till the earth is right before he allows himself to be fully exposed. Because he has a childlike heart, our God does. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you where I was, where did I? I'm sorry, bro, I'm in verse 6. I see the page flipping and flipping. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. Now, this is what happens when we put a good face on our problem. We take control of our... Have you ever met nice people? I mean, nice people. They're just nice. They're always nice. Everybody says, oh, they're so nice. You know how far I trust nice people? Till they come into adversity. Yeah, I've known some very nice people, and it took a lot to push them over the edge. But brother, when they got pushed over the edge, oof. I talked to a guy who put his brother in the hospital. He was such a nice guy, but his brother bugged him one time too many, and he took a bat to him and put him in the hospital. I guess what was growing underneath the ground there, huh? Wasn't nice, was it? But otherwise, he seemed like such a nice guy. If we say that we have fellowship with God and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, now I'm going to, in this sense, I'm going to equate light with exposure, okay? Everything that is exposed is light, okay? So when we see light, let's say exposure, right? Isn't that what Ruth said? I'm going to expose you. Oh, isn't that lovely, Ruth? How did you feel about that? What a word, huh? The Lord said, I'm going to expose you. That didn't sound neat. You see, when it was time for Jesus' ministry, in effect, when Jesus said, this is my son, hear him, he was saying, I'm exposing you. Now, it was glorious to Jesus because he had nothing to hide. You and I, when he says, I'm going to expose you. I was back in there, and part of me was rejoicing because I want some of the things that God has told us and shown us and that we are learning to live in to be exposed. I do. So I say amen. It's time. It's time. Okay? And that was what I was going to talk about, but I may never get there. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light or in that exposure, as he himself is in the light and is the sense that Jesus is allowing the Father to expose who he is, what he is, this is my son, hear him. We have fellowship with one another. We can have fellowship with God and with one another when we allow God to expose us. How many of us like fellowship? You know why parties don't usually have fellowship? Because we all bring our masks. Or we let it all hang out. In either case, it's not so hot. Okay? But real fellowship comes when we're able to allow God to expose one another. How many of you have gone to somebody's house and had them rebuke you? I mean, in a nice way, but have them rebuke you. That's a friend. And you have fellowship with those kind of people. Because you know they love you enough to rebuke you, even though you're a guest at their house. Or they're a guest at your house, whatever. Either way. But we have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus and with one another. And the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. Now that's where we're going. Okay? Notice it does. I know we all know this, but for the sake of our visitor, he doesn't say forgive us. He says cleanse us. There's a huge difference. Okay? If I have a white blouse, I'll be a girl for a while. If I have a white blouse and I spill ketchup, no, I can't be a girl because girls never spill any ketchup on their white blouses. I have to be a guy with a white t-shirt because we do it all the time. Okay, so I spill ketchup or mustard on my white t-shirt. Okay? You forgive me for being sloppy. Right? Don't you? That's just Stan. He's eating a hot dog. He's eating a hot dog and it got all of his shit. Right? That's just Stan. You forgive me, right? Does the stain go away because you forgave me? No. There's a difference between forgiving and cleansing. What do you have to do to get the stain out of the shirt? Yeah, you got to use something strong. Something strong. You can get it out of the shirt, can't you? But it takes some strong dealing with the shirt to get the stain out. What it says is he cleanses us. It doesn't say he forgives us. Yes, he forgives us. Of course he forgives us. We draw near to him because he's forgiven us. But as he exposes things in our lives, he's not doing that to forgive us. He's doing that so he can cleanse us. Hallelujah. Because the day we live in is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is where I wanted to go this morning. It's the one thing God has shown us, not the one thing, but a major thing God has shown us that the rest of the world doesn't know a thing about. They know about God being our Passover lamb, Jesus being our Passover lamb. They know about the Spirit fell on Pentecost, but they don't know there's a fulfillment for tabernacles, even though they have a heart for God. And God's taking them there, and he's taking us all there, but they don't know how, why, when, what. And this is part of the process that God brings us because what he wants to do is he wants to, the Father himself wants to dwell within us. Jesus did not minister by the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? If he did, he would have said so. He didn't say, the works that I do, the Holy Spirit in me does. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? The Father in me does these things. There's a different kind of ministry. The gifts and the ministries are in part. Jesus was in full. And he ministered by the fullness of the Father dwelling in him. And what God is bringing us to, the fulfillment of tabernacles, is that we, you and me, will come to the place where we will keep God's commandments by confessing our sins and being cleansed of these things. And God the Father, Jesus himself, will come and they will make their abode in us. John chapter 14. It's another experience. And it's where God is taking us. And this is part of the pathway that God does to prepare us for this. How many of us know you don't have to be... There's two different... I understand there's two different lines of thought about being filled with the Holy Spirit. One is you got to get holy first because it's the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in a holy person. And the other is the Holy Spirit comes and he fills you and he makes you holy. Have you heard those two different ideas? Okay. And we're four square. We believe that the Holy Spirit comes and he makes you holy, that you don't have to get holy first before the Holy Spirit comes. Otherwise, we'd all still be waiting. Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us this power to overcome. And to part of his work is to expose these things. This is who does the work. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit who knows the spirit of the man. It's the Holy Spirit that knows me. Tony, the Holy Spirit lives in there. He's in there. He knows the things that are hidden. He knows all my dark areas. And he wants to bring them to the light. And he's not mean. Capricious. He's not like we would be. He doesn't just dump all stuff out there just to go, ah, ha, 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 look at this guy. He's a, what a mess this Stan is. Okay? He's very gracious and kind and very gentle, and he knows the things that he's working on. One step, and he knows which things need to go first before the other things can be dealt with. If you ever try to open the bag for the charcoal or for the dog food, and you're supposed to pull on that little string on the end, and the whole thing unravels, brrr, and you see them like that, brrr, and you do it, and you're going. Right? You see, when we try to get it, if we pull the wrong side, it doesn't matter which side we pull, it's the wrong side, and it only knots up tighter and makes a big mess. When the Holy Spirit does, you see, the Holy Spirit knows which one. Pick this one, and brrr. I've had that happen to me. I've had that happen to me. Where God dealt with an issue in my life, and a lot of other things got dealt with at the same time. Just like that. It was wonderful. And you go around after that like stunned. Because you begin to realize, you know what? I'm different. I'm tangibly different. Areas that were so deep in my being that I couldn't be anything else but that problem. I got other problems. Some of those have been dealt with. The Holy Spirit knows which ones. He knows which ones he needs picked on. And he knows which order he wants them in. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Don't run from it. The crummy situation at work is going to bring you salvation. The crummy situation at home is going to bring you salvation. The crummy situation with the kids or the grandkids is going to bring you salvation. We need to have a different view of things. Okay? If we confess our sins, verse 9 says, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. See? It's not just cleansing, but he does forgive us. Amen. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't want to stop with just the forgiveness. There's like another illustration that I heard about a young boy who every time he got angry, he went and nailed a nail in the door. And then after a while, the door was studded with nails. And then the father said, okay, now we need to do something about this. So every time he apologized or whatever, or tried to make things right, he went and pulled the nail out instead of putting another nail in. The problem was when he got all the nails out, the door was full of holes. Oh, yeah. The door was full of holes. God wants to give us a new door.
He wants to be the door.
He is the door. Yeah, that's right. The new man that he wants to in us. All right, let's go back then to Ephesians. And I'll wrap this up. And then I've already stuck in a little bit what I wanted to say. You probably noticed. But I do want to say this about when. Okay, so. This business of exposing sins. All right? Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what God is saying, okay? So, okay. Everybody's attention mic over here. Thank you. This is what God wants to do. He wants to expose things by his Holy Spirit. All right? And he wants you and I to cooperate with that. It wants us to have a good attitude about it. It takes a little while. You're going to have to do it for a while before you can learn to have a good attitude. I used to think when people would point out things about my personality that were, I knew as well as they do they were crummy, okay? But I felt kind of picked on. I was like, I thought, you know, geez, I don't like being such a jerk. So I have sympathy for me already. And, you know, what I didn't get was what my friends were trying to tell me and my wife and everyone was, hey, we do have sympathy for you, but it doesn't take away the fact that you're still a jerk. So one of the things we have to learn is Romans chapter 7. When Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. And so guess what I found out? It's not me that does it, but sin in me. He says that twice too, by the way, Ruth. Mentions that twice. It's not me, but sin in me. You see, I had to learn. You're not picking on me when you're pointing out something that's wrong in my personality. You're picking at the sin in me. I am not the sin in me. I can be separated from it. You see the advantage there? Hello. I am not the sin that is in me. I am not the jerk. God did not create a jerk. I'm really a pretty wonderful guy. Someday you'll see it. I know you can't wait. He didn't create us to be jerks. He didn't create us to be deceitful. He didn't create us to be connivers. Angry people. I spoke about that in camp. I scared Anna, I think, when I talked about me being an angry man, because we don't like to hear about that kind of thing. Our take on usually once an angry man, always an angry man, right? It's usually the way it goes. But God. God can change that. He says he doesn't just forgive us. Oh, I'm a forgiven angry man. Heaven's going to be filled with forgiven angry people. Oh, please. He can change us, cleanse, take the angry, the problem, the anger comes basically from fear. Most of us are angry because there's something deep inside we're fearful of. And we act out in anger because we feel threatened. I had to ask myself, why do I want to kill my boss? He's not hurting me. No. Really? When your heart is racing and your skin is pink, okay, and it's warm and fuzzy all around because you're about to explode and your blood pressure is about 200 over 100, it's because you felt threatened that your life was going to be killed and you're going to fight back. That's anger. So anger is... Actually, it's a good thing God gave us anger for a reason. He gets angry too. But we're not in control because we have a fear. So if you got problems with anger, let me tell you your problem. You're fearful. Just what you wanted to hear. Okay? You can pray about that. You don't have to take my word for it. But believe me, if you have a problem with anger, you have a problem with fear. And you don't know a thing about your fear because it's underground. You just see the anger mushrooms. You never see the plant. Where was I? I probably got down a rabbit trail and don't remember where I was. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what we're talking about, exposing them. And what we expose is the sin in us. Here's the key. You ready? This is an important key. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedience do in secret. Now, does that look like a contradiction to you? Expose it on the one hand and shameful to even to mention on the other hand? How in the world are you going to expose something if you don't mention it? Here's the key. Ready? It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. We're not talking about you and I who are children of light. We're talking about the world. You and I are not given the commission to expose the sins of the world or the sins of anybody else. We're given commission to expose our own sin. Thank you. Take responsibility for your sin. So when it says expose it, if you can, it also pertains to the body. Okay? Now that takes some growing up to do when somebody comes up and gets in your face and says, this is your problem. But that's where God wants us to be. Walking in the light with one another. Walking in the light with one another means you're able to say, this is your problem. And that's why we get training, so that we know how to say it in a good way, in a way that's helpful and not hurtful. And if you come to the altar and somebody comes alongside to pray with you, if they're doing the right job, God will lead them so that they can point out to you what the real problem is. You've come for one thing, but the Holy Spirit knows that it's only the mushroom. The person who comes alongside to help, hopefully, will have a little clue as to what the real problem is. And God will give it to them because it's the Spirit who knows these things. That's why we have people come alongside. I often wonder, because I'm a guy, I don't know how you gals do, but when I come up to pray, I don't want nobody praying with me, between me and God. Right? You girls are meek and sweet and everything, but us guys, we're kind of arrogant. When I come up here, I don't want anybody coming alongside to pray with me. And I feel the same way when I see a guy come up here. I figure, he didn't want me to come pray with him. But here's the problem. He's aware of his mushroom, but he's not aware of his plant. And that's why I'm being trained to help come alongside, because he's trying to get rid of his mushrooms. All the people who grow mushrooms for a living keep the plant healthy, and they harvest the mushroom regularly. You can harvest the mushroom over and over and over and over and over again and keep the plant healthy and still get more mushrooms. It doesn't hurt the plant to harvest the mushrooms. But if you want to stop the mushroom, you've got to hurt the plant. And you expose it. You dig all that stuff up and expose it to the sunlight, Tony, and you stop the mushrooms, because the stuff, the fungus under the ground dies. And that's what God said he's going to do. He's digging the stuff up. And he said it twice. So it's like the ride. I've never been to this magic mountain. But I hear when they're strapped in, hang on. Because you're in for the ride. Okay? And if you're over 60 and you're pregnant or you have problems in your condition in your heart, don't get in the ride that God has for us. No qualifications unless you're humble and you want the truth. And then hang on. Because God is going to expose these things. He's going to do it. Okay? So God hasn't commissioned us to like Pastor used to drive by and see those guys fishing, and he'd rail on those guys out there, and God said, leave them alone. They're doing what they... You know why dogs bark? Because they're dogs. You know why sinners sin? Because they're sinners. Our job is not to do that. Our job is the body, and particularly me. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We heard about that this morning, didn't we, Lee? Rising from the dead. Everything that is in us that is not exposed, everything that is in us that is hidden and has not become visible, everything that has not become visible, and that's good and bad, is not light. Because light makes visible. And it's dead. Everything in us that's not exposed is dead. All right, I don't know where I'm at. The light hasn't come on, but I'm running out of something to do, and I don't want to start a whole new theme. 20 minutes I got? Well, I got enough time to start a theme. All right. I want to tie this in, if I can, to something that I felt God was speaking to my heart, what I came prepared to talk about. Is everybody up for it? Do we need to stand up and stretch a minute? Okay. All right. John chapter 14. As wonderful as a musician and a worship leader, I God keeps my ears close to where he's going. And there's a new kind of worship coming forth. Some of you are aware of it. Some of you are oblivious. And it's different. It's not very structured. It does have structure, but it's not structured like what we're used to. And in the course of an hour, you may sing five songs that you recognize anyway. I first noticed this when we went down to the call down in Qualcomm Stadium, where they played basically one song for about an hour. One song. And instead of getting bored with it and wishing it would go away, the longer it went, the better we liked it. Different. It's a different thing that God is doing. And so I've been noticing that, and I've been noticing other people that are teaching and preaching, and I've noticed an emphasis that that I feel that people are, A, sensing that God wants to do more. Okay? How many have ever listened to anybody else besides Pastor Thompson? Okay. Most of us have. Okay. So have we heard that God wants to do more in the earth? Yes. Okay, so we're all pretty well on the same page. Pastor's been telling us God wants to do more, and most of the people that I've been listening to are saying God wants to do more. Okay, there's going to be a greater outpouring of the Spirit. Amen? You heard that? Okay. How many received that thing that Audrey had printed up about that fellow that was a piano player for Branham or something like that? Did you see that thing that she printed up about that? Nobody? Nobody? Do I got the right thing? Burden bearer people did. How many people are burden bearers? 3, 4. Yeah. She printed up something that I think is very significant, so I'm going to share it with you, okay? And it was a fellow that played the piano back in Branham's day. And I don't remember who's who. I'm not good at that sort of thing. Lisa's much better. She can tell you who's who and everything. I just remember Branham was part of it. Okay. And this one guy was speaking to Brother Branham. Now, I don't know what you think about Brother Branham, but it's what I think about Brother Branham. Brother Branham had a real gift. I don't know him, never saw him. I'm taking on the word of the pastors because I trust them. I believe they know the real thing when they see it. This guy had the real thing. He was a real man of God, a real prophet. He was off on some things, especially towards the end, because he was a very simple, humble man, and he was led by other people off into error. It didn't negate his gift. That's the problem with the old guys. Almost all of them are stuck in the old, their old wineskins, folks. So they burst. We could criticize them, huh? I wouldn't try it. They're God's servants, and I don't think he'd particularly want to hear you complaining about his servants. So he went off, okay? But this is a real man of God who had a real vision, and God really visited him. And Pastor used to talk about the glory being so thick it was 4 feet deep. How many of you have ever heard him say about the glory, 4 feet deep? You know, glory's got to be very tangible to know it has 4 feet of depth. I heard of another man who said it came down like a spout. It's got to be very tangible to know that it comes down like a spout. There was one place where it was more noticeable than other places. I've never experienced that, saints. I got knocked down once by some guy that likes to wave his hand, and his angel goes where his hand goes, and everybody falls over. I was not impressed, okay? I wondered, why is he knocking people down? But I noticed the other angel was writing it all down. So someday they're going to have to give an answer as to why they're knocking people down with this angel instead of doing other things that they might have done with the angel. I don't have to answer for that. I have to answer for me. And I don't have that. Nobody gave me a giant angel when I was 14 years old. That'd be scary. So I don't blame anybody if they went off. But he had a true gift, and this is the thing that he said. He said, my time is almost done. And because he was a true prophet, he was right. This was back about a year before he died. He died in 1965, I think it was. He says, my time is over. And in a sense, this spectacular thing that God has been doing through other, because there were a lot of people, John G. Lake, and I mean, there were a lot of wonderful, Smith Wigglesworth, there was just wonderful things that were going on where there's ministries that God was preparing the earth. There's rain to soften things up, and then comes the gully washers, okay? The rain that was to soften things up was coming first. He said, my time is almost up. Afterward, Branham said, it's going to be an emphasis and a teaching. You hear that? An emphasis and a teaching. Not signs and wonders, Tony. An emphasis and a teaching on Christ in you. The church talks about Christ with you all the time. The church sings historical facts about the historical Jesus who died. We sang some of those historical songs this morning. Wonderful Jesus, because he died for us, took our sins away. We're talking about something that took place 2,000 years ago. And he said, I will be with you. So hallelujah, he's with us. But the mystery of the gospel, according to Paul, is that Christ is in you. And that will be preached for a space of time. After that will be an outpouring unprecedented in the history of the earth. Every spirit, every power, every anointing that has ever existed is going to come at one time upon the earth. And then the end will come. Now we've been hearing Christ in you in this church for 30 years. It's the thing God is emphasizing. And I'm hearing it among other preachers. That what God is doing is he's building up Christ in you. What I don't think we understand, Tony, is the significance of what that means. Because John tells us in these chapters, he tells us that he's going to give us of his spirit. He said, John said, John the Baptist said, the one who comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. A lot of people think the two are the same. That the Holy Spirit and with fire are two ways of saying the same thing. However, two things. One, when you say something and something, you're obviously not talking about the same thing, right? If I say I have a cup of water and a microphone, are they both the same thing? No. You can't have something and the same thing. But the church has not known that this baptism of fire. People are talking about it. People are singing about it. People are asking God to do it. Because that's what God is doing. He's bringing it in. He's birthing it in the earth and in the church. And people are singing, baptize us with fire. Mr. Edwards, baptize us with fire. Baptize us with fire. And I don't think they understand the significance. That doesn't make a difference. I don't think God holds it against Misty Edwards or anybody else that they don't understand the significance. They may understand the reality of it better than we do. But God is preparing us for what he says in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Principally in the verses chapter 14. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, that is, Jesus and the Father, will come to him and make our abode in him. Now, In order to understand that, we have to, it would take a little, people read that all the time and don't recognize the significance of what's being said there. Okay? People read all the time that God, that we are going to be brought to all the fullness of God dwelling in us. Okay? That's what Ephesians says. All the fullness of God. And we read that, all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God, and we don't recognize all the fullness of God in me? That's more than gift and ministries. Gift and ministries are only in part. How many have ever worked by the gifts and ministries? Okay? Now, you know from experience that what you're doing, what you're saying is probably right, but you can't, it's in part. You say what you believe God is saying, but you don't know exactly for sure that it really is. You have faith to believe it is. That's why you're walking on the water. Because what you see is water, and you can't walk on water. But your faith tells you that you're walking on something solid. So you're out on the water and it's solid under your feet even though it's still water. And that's how it is when you operate in a gift in a ministry. People shrink back from things like that because you've got to stick your neck out there. There's a little death to it. And the reason why you judge prophecy is because prophecies can not be exactly right. And that's why you have people judge the prophecies. That's why you have eldership in the church. To keep people straight. Because we do what we feel God, and you've got to go with what you feel God has for you, saints. Hear me, please. You've got to go with it. I appreciate all of you who will stick your neck out on a weekly basis or whatever and speak as if you know what you're doing. That's how you ought to do it. But Jeremiah, and he preached as well as anybody, years later saw the fulfillment to his prophecy and he went, oh, wow, it really was God after all, wasn't it? Yeah. Because that's the way it works with faith. You stand on it as if you know exactly that's the right thing, but you have nothing tangible to show for it. But the fullness of God is different. When it says, we will come to him and we will abide in him. We're talking about something different here. It's not a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. People are expecting a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm with them. I'm praying with them. But what they're going to get is not a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. What God is preparing us for is when the Father himself will come and make his abode in us. Now that ought to be a little impetus for us to do the other that we heard earlier. It's the whole purpose that the Holy Spirit has been working in our lives is to prepare us for this. Because listen, the Father is holy. He doesn't dwell in darkness. In him there is no darkness at all. And if he were to come suddenly in most of our hearts right now, the exposure would be overwhelming. And our skins would burst. We would not know how to take it. So the Holy Spirit is preparing us. Now, it's nothing to be alarmed about. It's nothing to be worried about. It's nothing to go home and figure out how I'm going to do this because the Holy Spirit's got the job. He's already been hired. And he's good at it. Just go with him. Pat, just go with him. Holy Spirit knows what he's up to. The Holy Spirit's job is to make you and I ready for this coming. But there's a coming. And the other thing I wanted to tell you was this. And lights are on, so I've only got 1 minute left. It speaks of going into the most holy place. Only one person who ever went in the most holy place, and it only happened once a year, it was the high priest. It only happened on the Day of Atonement. What does that mean? It means that this thing that God is doing is an individual thing, Tony. It's not going to fall on a group. It's not going to fall on a bunch. It's going to fall on individuals at God's timing. So be in prayer. Allow God to expose. We're going to have communion. It's a good time. If God is at work, he's exposing some things. We need to allow God to work in us. And we come up to the altar. Now, because some people come up to the altar and like to have communion up here at the altar, if you want someone to pray with you, remember I was saying some of us have issues and we don't know what it is, then raise your hand and someone will come and pray with you. And if when you're raising your hand, you're saying, look, I know I have a mushroom, but I've had this thing for a long time and I have no idea how to get rid of it. I'm praying for somebody to come and help me. I like people that mean business. I can do something with that. And usually the Holy Spirit can too. But if we're only up here to ease our conscience so that we can go home and do our thing, someone coming alongside isn't going to change a thing. Ooh, that wasn't kind, Stan. Sorry, but I think it's true. We only come up here to ease our conscience. Nothing's going to transpire. What we're doing this morning is we're recognizing the body of Christ. And in doing that, we need to help one another because that's what the body's for. So when I have a problem, I can pretty well guess. I can see the fruit, but I don't know what the root of the problem is. And I have to humble myself and allow my wife to help me or allow my friends to help me. And being a proud man, it isn't easy. But I'm learning to enjoy it because the fruit of it is truth. The fruit of it is life. The fruit of it is everlasting. The fruit of it is eternal life. And as we learn to walk in that, we become more comfortable with it. Okay, so I think Mark went out, so we're going to... Is Mark? Yeah, Mark is waiting in the wings. We can get the young people. Young people are here. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Now, Lord, you've spoken to us that you're going to expose us. That's good. We need exposure, Lord. We need that which is not of you and that which can be shaken, shaken. And we need that which you have wrought in us, Lord, for the world to see, because the world is waiting for salvation. The world is waiting for truth. There's a lot of young people in the earth, Lord, in the church, who are waiting for people who are living a life. Help us to be those people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.